Welcome to the Life Leadership Podcast with myself, Leela Singh, all things coaching, career, and personal branding. This podcast is for ambitious career professionals like you, wanting to create a life of choice and freedom, to be, do, and have more through overcoming limitations, to develop new perspectives and insights, and to redefine your success, be that in work, health, relationships, and so much more.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to our another Tech Talk session. I am Tripti Sinha from Tech Jobs Fair, and I'll be your host for today's session. And today, I have a very special guest with me, Miss Leela Singh. Hi, Leela. How are you?
Tripti, hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really well, thank you. And I'm really looking forward to this Tech Talk session.
And today's topic of the session is going to be very interesting. You know, people think like once you have the education and you're hardworking, you can just go in the market, like the field, and get your dream job. But today we're going to learn why qualifications and hard work are not enough to secure your next role. And Leela will be guiding us today. What else do you require to secure your next role besides qualification and hard work? Yes. So before we begin with this topic and questions and answers, I want to hand over to Leela and allow her to give a brief introduction about herself and share her little journey with us.
Sure. Over to you, Leela. Thank you very much for the intro. So I will keep this fairly short. Essentially, I embarked on my career coming up to about 30 years ago. And I initially trained and qualified as an accountant and spent several years in various finance roles, and then got to a point where whilst I enjoyed what I was doing, I wanted more. And having done a bit of digging deep to really understand what motivated and drove me, I decided to embark on financial recruitment as a career. And I did this for a couple of years. And I will say that while many people at the time thought this was a mistake and challenged me based on the fact that I'd spent so many years training to be an accountant, that actually it was the best thing I ever did for myself and for my career. Why? Because it took me out of my comfort zone. It really challenged me and stretched me and showed me what is possible and what I'm capable of. And this is why I always advocate for people looking to push further to try new things. So I spent a couple of years in recruitment, and thereafter I was offered an opportunity to join a company which was then called Electronic Data Systems. It was the second largest IT outsourcing company after IBM, and it specialized in delivering outsourcing solutions to businesses, both government and private sector organizations, on a large scale. And the role at the time wasn't really defined for me. But again, I chose to take the risk, try something new, and again, was significantly challenged in that role. It was essentially structured finance, asset financing, and working with both investment banks, some of the big law firms, and supporting the bid teams in structuring the financing solutions that went into outsourcing contracts. A few years on, Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, as it is now, acquired EDS. I then moved across and spent a couple of years as a treasury consultant, after which I joined the sales team as a sales exec within the financial services arm of the business. Again, looking at the structuring of the financing solutions within the deal contracts. I chose to leave my career on a high, very successful career, and one that I loved and I was very blessed to get to experience, to pursue my passion of coaching and mentoring and supporting individuals in their career. Why? Because in my own personal development journey of now 10 years, where I've really immersed myself in my own personal growth, I've come to realize that people play a small game. Why? Because they don't realize what is possible for them. They kind of limit themselves, and we all do it to some degree because we don't know what we don't know. And when we realize what we really can achieve and what is possible for us, the sky really is the limit. And that's what I'm here to support individuals with, people who are driven, who are motivated and want more. So that's
so you really had a beautiful journey.
I believe I have, yes.
Yes, and I just want to add a little thing here. Like, you know, you've had this a roller coaster ride, you know, from where you went from one field to another, where you challenged yourself, came out of your comfort zone. And now that you developed that, you know, you wanted to follow your passion, and then you build your personality in such a way, you helped yourself, and now you're out there to help people. And that is so amazing, you know, it's already very motivating.
Thank
and
you.
That's I'm sure good. Like we're gonna have like more motivational talks in the session ahead, so I'm really really looking forward to it.
Thank
like
you
like
you
me said
too.
Like, you know, you had this journey, so if you can tell me, what are the common struggles that, you know, you feel that job seekers see, and when it comes to securing their next role, what are the struggles that the job seekers feel according to you?
So, I mean, I've coached a number of people over the last 10 years now, and I think that there's a few struggles that seem to repeat themselves with people. The first one is, and this is in no particular order, but the first one I would say is actually not really knowing what you want. So struggling, feeling stuck in your career, not knowing what to do next, not knowing what the next step is, not having a real sort of career trajectory, a plan of where you want to go, and simply just focusing on the here and now and saying, well, I just need to have a job. And the problem with this often is that, let's say you decide to move on from a particular role, or you unfortunately experience redundancy or anything similar, typically what people will do is they'll just be running to get the next job and apply a scattergun approach, which I will often say is not the way to go. Particularly now, it is such a strong candidate base and a competitive environment that you really need to do the work to be able to stand out and to be in a position of influence when it comes to showing up at interviews, speaking to our hiring managers, to recruiters and so forth, to be able to stand out from the crowd. And so a scattergun approach of just, let's say if you're working in tech, and you know, in tech, it's not just techie roles, right? Like, I've not done a techie role. It could be marketing, finance, HR, etc., right? So
exactly.
It's having some clarity of A, the kind of industry you want to be in. Is it tech? Is it something else? Secondly, it's then understanding what kind of role you want to be doing, having a bit of a vision of your longer term goals and ambitions. And it doesn't mean that you have to be aspiring to be the next CEO. It really doesn't. You could be someone who simply wants to gain really like a wide breadth of experience moving sideways, to experience, let's say, finance, different aspects of finance roles and commercial roles, being a business partner and so forth. So it's thinking laterally and outside the box. And even if you're struggling to know what you want longer term, because maybe you're early on in your career and you're feeling, well, I don't know what's out there, so I don't know where I could go. It's being open to opportunities, but also doing the groundwork, understanding your values, what's important to you, what drives you, to be able to have some clarity on what your next step is. Another thing is, you know, you often hear people talk about focus on your strengths, right?
Yeah.
The thing for me is when people talk about strengths, a lot of time what they mean is your performance. So the things that you're good at, that you perform well at. For me, strengths, and let's call them development areas, are more about what energizes us. So actually, you could be really good at something, but if it doesn't energize you, if it actually drains you, and has you feeling like you really don't want to be doing it, then it's possibly not the right place to be going. It's not the right direction to be heading in. And to give you an example of what I mean, I use Excel spreadsheets as a great example of this. So with an accountancy background, I have very strong Excel skills. However, if you put me in a role which required me to be looking at cost models and analysis and numbers all day, that will drain me. Whereas, for example, when I was in my sales exec role, I used to utilize Excel a lot for forecasting, for tracking my deals, for managing plans and projects and so forth. And I love that. That energized me. So it's the same thing using Excel in two different scenarios and understanding one energizes me and one doesn't. So what is it for you is the important thing to really ask yourself. You could be good at something, but do you really want to spend 40 hours a week doing something you're good at but drains you? When actually you can always develop your skills, you can always improve. And therefore, let's go back to Excel. If that is something that actually excites you, you love it, it lights you up, it energizes you, then go develop the skill if you think you're not at, a proficient level. And that's like anything. For me, in my corporate career, I was absolutely rubbish when it came to presentations, right? It freaked me out. I used to absolutely hate doing them. I'd avoid them at all costs. But I've realized now it's something I enjoy, but I've gotten upskilled to be able to do it well. And anyone can do that if you want to. And that's the difference between doing something that drains you and something that energizes you. And I think it's a really important thing to slow down to and explore for yourself. So that's the what number one I say, Tripti, in terms of struggle. It's really getting clear on your strengths and weaknesses, what energizes you, and where you want to go. Because you can ask a lot of people, what do you want? What is it you want in your career? And people cannot answer that question. And for me, that is the starting point. So that's probably one of the biggest things. I never advocate the scattergun approach. It's not effective. It's potluck. But then you're not really influencing or in charge of your career or your future. You're hoping that you'll just get given a job. The other, I guess the second thing, I'll stick to three things. I think the second thing would be probably visibility in the workplace, and not being listened to. So those are two things, a lack of visibility and not being heard. And a big part of that is looking at, okay, if that is something you're experiencing, is how are you showing up? How are you communicating with people? What impression are you making? What is your reputation? These are all things you can work on, develop, and build upon. And also remembering to speak up, because it's very easy if you feel like you're invisible, you're not being heard, then you withdraw and then you don't say anything, which then just creates a bigger problem, right?
Indeed.
So you want to be thinking about how can you be more visible? How can you have people be aware of who you are and what you bring to the table? And the reason I say this is because it was one of the first and best pieces of advice I got in my career. Because I truly believe that keeping my head down, working really hard as an accountant, people would see what I do and how good I am, and I get promoted because of that. And that's not the case. Managers have a lot of responsibilities. They're not going to remember every single thing you're doing and then think, yeah, that person needs to get recognition or be promoted. So what you want to be doing is ensuring that you make people aware. And I don't mean blatant bragging, but ensuring that conversations are had or that you're just pointing out occasionally from time to time when you've delivered a great piece of work or a project or you've over-delivered or you've gotten great feedback from somebody. And just ensuring that the people who are the decision makers are aware of what value you're bringing to the table and your levels of performance. And it's something, again, people often, I hear this a lot, is that, well, they should know what I'm doing or the hours that I'm putting in or the extra effort I've been to. Well, no, they shouldn't. That's simply an assumption. So it's taking control again and of how you can influence your future. I'll stick, as I said, with three things here. I'll try anyway. But the third thing I'd say is the assumptions, the stories, the past experiences that we tell ourselves that often limit us from moving forward. So for example, we may have put ourselves forward for a promotion in our workplace and experience rejection. And what happens? We create a story. We maybe make it personal about those people not liking us. It might be we make an assumption that they think other people are better than us, or we're not good enough, or we're not ready. But they're all assumptions, they're stories, they're beliefs, and often based on past experience, which means that what many people will then do is they'll hold on to those stories and beliefs and so forth, and it will limit the actions you take going forward. So another promotion opportunity may come up, for example, and you hold yourself back. You don't put yourself forward, you don't apply, you don't go speak to the hiring manager because you're like, oh, well, they don't like me, or, well, they rejected me last time, or I'm not good enough, or so forth and so forth. And this is where I invite you to recognize the beliefs, the stories, and the past experiences that we're drawing upon, and recognize they're not fact. You want to get to the facts, understand, have an open conversation, understand why you weren't put forward or taken through or given the offer, and what can you do differently? Everything is a learning. Rejection is redirection, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're getting redirected, maybe it's redirected because it's not for you, maybe it's because you're just not ready, but you can go away for 6 months, 12 months, work on the gaps, to close the gaps, and go back the next time. So I think those are three of the key areas that I notice people kind of struggle with when it comes to kind of moving forward in their career, to securing their next role.
All right, those were very important, I think, you know, especially when you spoke about the strength, because people have to first understand themselves, you know, before bringing out what are the strengths in them. Like the way you said, something that's draining you, definitely not a strength, but if it energizes you, definitely a strength. Yeah. And second, like you said, the visibility, like, you know, that you being visible in your work area, your environment, right? That's very, very important. Otherwise, you'll just be like unheard, and you'll not share your opinions and even your knowledge, you know. So that's very, very important. And third, like you said, the assumption. If you this is like in real life too, you know, when we assume something and don't want to get to the fact, that creates a barrier between me, like the two individuals, and that creates a lot of misunderstandings and pulls you back, and you don't want to move forward. So it's like very, very important. And when it comes to, you know, jobs, what I've seen people who've had a lot of qualifications, you know, experience as well, but then they're like, you know, like when they want to move ahead in the career, they're like, can't do it, or like even after having a qualification, they're like, I'm not securing a job, because what they lack is the presentation skills, you know, when it comes to an interview, right? That's the entry point, and that's where you lack that thing. So what do you think is that one thing that can make a difference between a yes and a no in an interview?
That's a really good question, and a difficult one to just nail it down to one thing. So I'm going to say attitude, because attitude encompasses a number of things. Okay, it encompasses not only a can-do attitude, but also being able to demonstrate that you're flexible, that you're adaptable, to come in and mold yourself to that role. Because often we hear stories of, oh, well, I haven't got all the experiences on the job spec, let's say, so I'm not going to put myself forward. But here's the thing, I look at every opportunity as a growth opportunity. Therefore, you always want to have a proportion of that new role having something that's going to help you to grow and stretch you and challenge you. Then in order to be seriously considered for that role, you want to be able to demonstrate that you are adaptable, you are flexible, that you are willing to learn, and being able to demonstrate that from previous experience Being curious is always very good. So asking questions, asking about the company, the structure, the team, the growth, the career growth path that they can offer you, if that is something that is of interest or is important to you. But also when I talk about attitude, it's about having that level of confidence and certainty, both in yourself and in your abilities, because that's often where people will fall down. And a big part of that is understanding your own brand identity. So, for example, understanding who you are, what you stand for, your values, in other words, and what you want to be known for, and being able to live into that when you show up. And, you know, I talk a lot about having a strong personal brand. And for many people, when they hear personal brand, they think about online presence. They think about your LinkedIn profile. And for me, that is secondary. Primary is how you show up in person. That is your brand identity. Because you can pay somebody to create a beautiful personal brand for you on your LinkedIn profile. That's not going to serve you when you're in front of a hiring manager. So you want to be working on honing those skills. So attitude includes your confidence, your certainty, your belief. And it also looks at your as you mentioned, Tripti, your presence. So executive presence, which is all about your nonverbal communication skills, which, by the way, is 93% of your communication, 7% of your words, okay? 93% is nonverbal. That encompasses your presence and how you show up. And that is, you know, people form an impression of you within the first 7 seconds. So when you walk into that room and shake someone's hand, they already formed an impression. So you want to be nailing that. You want to be showing up with that confidence, that certainty, the right attitude. That is the make or break, in my view.
That's actually very, very important, because people do have to, you know, come out in this field and understand that having a lot of qualification is not just enough, because the first door is interview, and that's where, you know, they just be sent back sometimes. And then they'll be like, what have I done? I have so much qualification. Why am I not getting the job? You know?
Yeah, so, and you know, that's Tripti, I've spoken to people before where, you know, they're struggling to get interviews, or they're struggling to get an offer, and they've gone off and done another certification and another certification. And
Yeah,
they're not working on their, let's call them soft skills, or their branding, or whatever you want, you know, the way they show up in person. And, you know, and again, this is common, particularly in tech, for techies, because they're behind the computers and they maybe feel that's not necessarily a strong skill or area to develop. But actually, if you want to be able to own your career and influence the decisions of the hiring managers, then you really do need to work on your people skills, your soft skills, the way that you're showing up, because that will go a long way, coming back to the one thing, attitude, that will make the difference to be able to enable you to have choices and options when it comes to your career.
Yeah, that's very true. Also, like in the beginning of our conversation, you know, when we started with this little Q&As and all that, so you mentioned about the struggles, right, the job seekers face during, you know, securing their next role. So how do you think they can overcome these challenges, like, and advance their career? How job seekers can overcome the challenges?
Yeah, how can they overcome the challenges? There's a number of ways, and it's about actually grabbing opportunities and taking advantage of them.
And coming back to our conversation, let's see how you can overcome your challenges to advance the career from Lila.
So this is just something I'll walk through, and these are the steps that for me are what you can identify firstly of where you've got the gaps, and then look to develop and hone. So number one is what we mentioned earlier, of having clarity. So understanding what it is you want from your career, even if it's in the short term initially, that's okay. But understanding to some degree what that is, your strengths, your weaknesses, we spoke about in terms of what energizes you and what drains you, your brand identity. So who you are, what are your values? What do you stand for? what you want to be known for. So these are all things, if you're listening now, you want to go back this, get a pen and paper and write this down, and maybe spend some time over the coming days, and there's, you know, time off work over Christmas, to actually work through this for yourself. The second thing is confidence. What I mean by this is attitude. It's about how you show up, doing the inner work, understanding what your limitations are, because often we place these on ourselves. Again, going back to beliefs that we have, maybe believing that we're not ready, that we're not good enough, that we haven't got enough experience, that we don't have enough accreditations or qualifications, all of these things. Are they really true? Or are you creating a story that is limiting you? Go back to my earlier examples of, in my own career. When I went into recruitment from accountancy, I was the quiet church mouse. I wouldn't say boo to a goose. I lacked a lot of confidence, but going into recruitment pushed me to have to show up, to go have meetings with senior level executives in finance to understand their hiring needs, and then interviewing candidates at all levels. Now, this wasn't something that I was comfortable doing, but by putting myself into that situation, it pushed me and showed me what I'm capable of. And by the way, I was the highest biller in my first year amongst a team of very experienced recruiters. And that was simply because, I guess, I had the finance experience as well as developing the sales experience. Mm-hmm. So combining the two really helped. But the point here is to show you what is possible. So having the confidence and the certainty, working on that, understanding that you can let go of the stories and limitations, and doing the inner work. The third thing for me that can really help you to overcome challenges is developing presence. So when I talk about captivate, we're talking about that executive presence. And what I mean by that is looking at your body language, the way that you carry yourself, your physiology, managing your state when you are walking into a situation, whether that's an interview or maybe a presentation that you have to do as part of the hiring process, and managing your state so you can feel that you're grounded, you're in control, and you're not anxious, you're not nervous, which will enable you to focus on actually delivering an engaging interview and or presentation. It also creates that, or forms that first impression with people, and has people remembering you for the right reasons. So looking at developing your presence is incredibly powerful. Remember, it's 93% of your communication. The next thing is the 7%, right? Which is the words. And that's what we tend to focus on more. What are we going to say at interview? You know, how are we going to answer the question? So here it's very much about being able to articulate yourself well, developing stories around your experience, the challenges that you've overcome, how you've overcome them, how you've maybe influenced others, managed teams, and so forth. So thinking about the role that you're going for and what they're looking for, and then being able to demonstrate powerfully why you're right for this opportunity, and drawing upon your past experiences and your knowledge. And, you know, even role playing this with people, maybe with a mentor, with a coach, with a colleague, so that you can get to practice it. And similarly with presentations, many hiring processes now require a level of presenting, whether it's 2 or 3 minutes or a 20 minute presentation. So how can you look at being more engaging? And again, here, you know, my own experience in the corporate space, and this is not a criticism, this is more about not knowing what we don't know, is that, as you've probably heard the term, death by PowerPoint. You see, many people will stand up, even on the big stages, and just read off PowerPoints and bullet points. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to be doing that. You want to be able to engage fully with your audience and keep your slides to a minimal level, not like hundreds of words and bullets, and be able to simply keep people engaged through your tonality, through the eye contact, and being with your audience, not thinking, oh my God, what's my next bullet? What is it I have to say? Because I've memorized it. And there's a big difference to the experience that your audience will have. The fifth thing is relationships. And I was going to touch on this earlier, but when we talk about visibility and people knowing what value we have to bring to the table, you know, Tripti, I'm sure you're familiar with the saying, it's all about who you know. And my view is it's not only about who you know, it's about who knows you and what they know about you, right? So it's threefold. And actually relationships
makes a lot of difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's incredibly important to cultivate and nurture relationships, your professional relationships. And I am never fails to surprise me when I speak to people who come to me and are struggling to secure a role, who've not invested any time and energy in this. And they truly believe they can reach out to complete strangers, almost like cold calling, and ask them for a reference or to introduce them into their company. And it really baffles me. It's like, why would you believe somebody would do that and risk their own reputation when you haven't done the work yourself? And this also goes for your LinkedIn profile, slightly off topic here, but you know, investing time on honing a good, strong LinkedIn profile so that when you do reach out to somebody and say, listen, I really need your help. You know, you work, I'll use HP as an example. You work for HP. There's an opportunity going that I'd really appreciate if you could maybe put in a good word for me or introduce me to the right person. The first thing I'm going to do is look at your LinkedIn profile. The first thing that person's going to do in HP is look at your LinkedIn, right? So if you've not taken the time to do that work, why would you expect me or someone else to invest time and effort in you? And that may sound harsh, but you've got to do the work. And when you do, it will be rewarded, right? So it's something to think about, but also the relationships. There is so much to be said about, you know, honing, developing those relationships, nurturing them. And people, by the way, love to help. They really do. But you've got to build a relationship first, not just send a cold message to someone saying, please, can you put me forward in your company because they're hiring for this role? No, you want to build relationships first. So that is absolutely critical and something that many people overlook and don't see the value in. And then the sixth thing is cultivate, which is cultivating personal leadership. As I mentioned before about being able to influence your career and take control of it, this is bringing these five things together that I've shared here and cultivating your own personal leadership so you have more influence, not just over your career, but your life as well. So these are ways that you can overcome your struggle to, you know, get promoted to secure your next role. It's thinking about where in this have you got gaps? Where is it that you need to work on and develop and hone? Mm-hmm.
So you've given these, you know, how they can, given these few keywords and pointers and how they can overcome the challenges. So can you also like share some instances on how they've benefited in developing in these particular areas?
Say that last question again, sorry. Can I share some?
Like, can you share some instances or examples from how the others have benefited by developing in these certain areas?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if I think about some clients that I have worked with, I mean, one that I always refer to as my star client, you know, absolutely stand out in the sense that when he came to work with me initially, he recognized in himself that he just wasn't getting noticed. He wasn't getting the recognition that he knew he deserved. He was great at what he did, but similar to my example, he kept his head down, he worked really hard. He then moved after a number of years in one company to a new organization and made the decision that he wanted to now get that recognition to stand out. And by working through, first of all, getting clear on what he wants and his values and what's important to him, but really spending time on the mindset work, doing the inner work to overcome his limitations that he was putting on himself, but also developing his presence to the point that he got the promotion. He got significant bonuses. In the first 6 months, he secured a 28% bonus. About 18 months later, he then secured a 39% bonus and a 49% pay rise, which is unheard of in his company. But that just shows the recognition for how good he was when he created the shift in himself, but also being brought into the executive team conversations. He wasn't on the executive team, but because people recognized what he had to offer. Do you remember I spoke about knowing, having people know what you bring to the table, the value and the, yeah, and the expertise? They would bring him into those conversations. So not only that, he was able to effectively communicate in terms of what he wants, in terms of then being given more responsibility to grow a team, to take on more projects and responsibility. So that's like my star example. But he also grew and developed personally, not just professionally. So from his own mindset around money and finances, from his health, his relationships, so everything improved, developed, and grew. I guess a couple of other examples where we can draw upon on some of that is a client I worked with a couple of years ago who was going through redundancy, and he came to me because he wanted his next role to be the right decision, not just another job. And he was prepared to take the time to really, you know, identify what that looks like and then go find it. And the way I work with my clients is to look at from the bottom up rather than trying to like identify job specs and then molding yourself into that. It's more about what do I want, get clear on that, and then go looking for that and having conversations with people where you then can influence roles and have even roles created for you, right? And that happens. And in this case with this client, first of all, he took the time to get clear on what he wants. And then going back to relationships, something he hadn't thought about, we then created a strategy together where he went and reached out to former managers and directors, people he's worked with over the last 20 years or so, and had conversations. And he said it was something he would never have thought to do. But all the, let's call it the right kind of interviews that he had came from those conversations. And as a consequence, he's now very happy, very successful in his ideal role as a consequence of that. And that's where I say relationships are so powerful. And I've had that with other clients where they've done the work, they've worked the strategy with those relationships and secured their ideal opportunity as a consequence of that. Because here's the thing, you know, a lot of hiring or recruitment occurs what you call kind of offline or through the back door, so to speak. So about who you know and your reputation and recommendation and referral. And all of that will come from those things that I just shared earlier, you know, understanding what you want, being able to convey it, building relationships. So people have you top of mind. So when they see an opportunity or hear an opportunity come up, they think, oh, I had that conversation with that person. Maybe I could put them forward. And hey, they've got a great LinkedIn profile. So you know, I look at it, I think it's great. I'll speak to someone I know. Go check this person out, you know? And that's where those opportunities happen. So that's what I mean when I say think laterally about this. So, you know, I could give you loads more examples, but it's drawing on those five areas, those five core areas that will really help people to propel themselves forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do believe it's very, very important to build like a rapport, you know, in a professional career so that whenever you're looking forward to your next role or something, because you've built rapport with someone, you just come out of their mouth sometimes in some situations. So, and word of mouth is a very, very strong promotional thing, you know, because we absolutely tend to believe. So that's very, very important. And like you've been sharing such wonderful facts.
No, you're most welcome to it. I just want to say though, as well, you know, people are more prepared to take a risk on you when you're recommended, you're referred, or, you know, you've had that, you've got a relationship with someone. So if you're, you know, you're looking to make a change particularly or move up the ladder and you feel like maybe am I ready yet or have I got all of the, can I tick all the boxes? Having those conversations with people can make all the difference. And having people who you know in your network who can refer you or put in a good word. Again, making sure you've got some good recommendations on your profile, your LinkedIn profile. All of those things will make the difference. Sorry, Tripti, I think I interrupted.
No, that's completely fine. Like I was saying, like you've been sharing such wonderful facts about, how we can grow ourselves to become a better professional in our respective fields. I just want to know a little, why did you choose to leave your successful corporate career in tech and doing what you do today, helping others build their career?
I think it goes back to a little bit of what I mentioned at the start, which was, each time I've made a move, it's because I've wanted more. I want to just push myself and challenge myself and see what's possible for me. But not only that, it was also witnessing working amongst people who often are perceived as being so successful. In other words, in great jobs, good money, good lifestyle, but yet not happy, not fulfilled. And for me, it's taking that to the next step, talking about all the things we've shared here today and looking at what is possible for you and, taking those risks, going, the phrase is something that, for a lot of people makes them cringe, but actually becoming comfortable with not being comfortable. So stepping outside of your comfort
Yeah,
zone, all of those
definitely.
things is where you really get to live life to the full. And this isn't about wanting, as I said, to be the next CX. So it's about having a life that is really, truly fulfilling, rewarding, and where you get to spend those 40 plus hours a week doing something that lights you up. You don't have to be completely in love with it, but find a way of enjoying what you do because it will make a difference in the way it impacts the rest of your life as well. So that for me, I'm constantly on a journey of personal growth. I've always, got coaches around me that I hire to help me to see my blind spots and to take my life to the next level. And that's what I want for others. So that's the reason I'm doing what I'm doing.
That's so helpful. So your insights have been so wonderful and valuable, Leela. Thank you so much. But I know we have some time constraints, so I would love to chat more with you, but because of the time constraints, we have to bring this session to an end. But thank you so much for your active participation. And that's all from my side. Do you want to add anything to our viewers?
Really slow down to where you're heading in your career. Go back over what we've shared and discussed here today and come away with some actions for yourself that will help you to develop, to grow, and to really take control and influence your career in the way that you want to.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already done so. And if you enjoyed and gained value from today's episode, then do please leave a review telling us your key learnings and what you enjoyed the most. And do please share this podcast with your friends and colleagues so we can spread the word on life leadership, creating a life of choice, freedom, and new possibilities. Connect with me directly on LinkedIn, and if you would like to learn more about how we can work together, either DM me on LinkedIn or email me. All details and resources can be found in the show notes.